Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
New York's trusted source for news, traffic, and weather. This is WCBS News Radio 880, streaming 24/7 on the free Odyssey app.
It is Wednesday. Welcome to it. It's going to be cloudy. We'll see some sun later on today, and it will be warm. High 50 to 55.
A disabled veteran from Monmouth County says he paid an animal charity thousands to save his dog from cancer. That charity was run by George Santos. Santos, though, is denying any wrongdoing, but the Navy vet says his money is gone and his dog is dead. To Nassau County for the latest sordid story about the freshman congressman, our WCBS Long Island Bureau Chief Sophia Hall is on the line. So.
And Paul, 2016 was very hard for veteran Richard Ostoff of New Jersey. He said his dog, Sapphire, who never left his side, had a tumor that needed to be removed. A doctor was ready to perform that surgery. He tells the Patch he set up a GoFundMe page and raised $3,000. But he says Congressman George Santos, who claimed he had a pet charity, took the money. He says text messages proved that Santos said Sapphire was not a candidate for surgery, and that the money would go to helping other pets. That charity was never registered. Sapphire had to be euthanized. Santos says the story is fake. Meanwhile, Santos was named to two committees in Congress, Science, Space, and Technology, and Small Business. This is residents on Long Island and Queens continue to call for Santos to resign. Paul and Wayne.
Sophia, thank you. In saying that George Santos is a flight risk, Nassau legislator Josh Lafazan is calling for Santos' passport to be revoked. The way Lafazan sees it, Santos faces possible indictment on charges that could bring years in prison, and so there is significant concern that he may eventually seek safe harbor in a country lacking an extradition treaty with the U.S.
Drivers are worried that what had been a headache at the Holland Tunnel could turn into a nightmare in 2 weeks. That's when the overnight full closure ends for inbound drivers. And, well, that's when it ends, and then it begins for the outbound drivers. You know, all those folks driving home after a night in the city, that closure is set to last not weeks, not months, but years. Sean Adams is live this morning in Lower Manhattan. Sean.
Yeah, Jersey folks who worked that night shift or hit the clubs, well, you better head for the Lincoln Tunnel, because the Jersey-bound Holland Tunnel is going to be closed overnights 6 nights per week for nearly 3 years. A total overhaul is needed due to Sandy's floodwaters a decade ago. We're talking about mechanical, electrical, and plumbing issues. Benny is now planning his detour.
Well, if I worked nights, yes, but I guess it has to be done for to get the tunnel a little better, right? It's falling apart.
But, I mean, this is all because of Sandy. I mean, you know, Sandy filled that thing.
Exactly. You just got to fix up the problems and get it back on track again.
So the Holland Tunnel outbound will close Sunday to Thursday, 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., Friday to Saturday from just before midnight to 9 a.m. The three-year rehab of the inbound tube, that's about to wrap up, though. It's going to be done in a few weeks, and then they'll do the old switcheroo. Live at the Holland Tunnel, Sean Adams, WCBS 880 News.
Yeah, I've been watching the progress on that on the rare occasions when I can come inbound in the Holland Tunnel in the early morning hours, and the tiles are nice and shiny now.
I was going to say, could you even tell? The tile looks cleaner.
Oh, you can definitely see the work that's been done, but the outbound Holland Tunnel looks pretty dingy, pretty grungy.
But the inside looks like they've been working on it for 2 years with Tilex and a scrubby.
Chief Meteorologist Craig Allen is here in the WCBS Weather Center. Brand new day, and the warmth is going to be really cranked up today, isn't it, Craig?
It is, as long as we get some sunshine, and right now we're looking at breaks in the overcast developing before the sun comes up, so I'm sure there will be at least a few intervals of sun today, and a high between 50 and 55. Clouds will come back again tonight, though, 35 to 40 in a much different day tomorrow. I mean, it's still warm enough for rain, but it'll be a chilly rain, high near 45, off and on rain through the day. Some of it could be heavy. And that rain will come to an end during Friday morning. The clouds may break a little bit on Friday, but it's still up there in the mid-40s on Friday. Current city temperature is 45, humidity 73%, southwest wind 9 miles per hour.
On this day, after a city cop, Craig, was shot near the Bronx Zoo, the hunt for suspects continues. One person was arrested. Two others are still wanted. As for the officer, police say the bullet narrowly missed a vital artery. There was applause as the officer, Paul Lee, left St. Barnabas Hospital. He and his partner were in an unmarked car at what police say was a gang hangout. They were fired on before they even had a chance to exit the car. The alleged shooter, 16 years old, police say he fired six times. He's been charged now with attempted murder.
Weed sales at smoke shops are illegal, but they're happening all the time, and the city council wants to put a stop to it.
With just one licensed dispensary here in the city able to sell marijuana legally, it seems hundreds of others are doing so illegally. So a major crackdown underway. Councilmember Marjorie Velasquez is leading this rally and hearing later on today.
We want to make sure that the folks that did end up with the licenses, this first batch, that their licenses retain their value and they're not their value's not being reduced.
Overnight, during a fight inside Smoke City Smoke Shop here at 49th and 9th, a 32-year-old employee ended up shot in the leg, and he's stable at Bellevue. And while the smoke shop's not licensed to sell marijuana, they have several signs in the window promoting it. From Hell's Kitchen, Glenn Schuck, WCBS 880 News.
New York City will become the first place in the country to offer abortion pills at health clinics free of charge, says the city's health commissioner, Ashwin Vasan.
These four sites can deliver up to 10,000 medication abortions a year, and that's on top of what our public hospital system already does.
This starts today in one place, the Morrisanian Sexual Health Clinic in the Bronx, the other clinics in Central Harlem, Jamaica, and in Crown Heights.
Wednesday morning, take my blues away. Wednesday morning, it's gonna be a brighter day.
And it is. Craig says sunshine will peak out later on today and it'll be warm, high 50 to 55. Good morning, I'm Wayne Kevin.
Good morning, I'm Paul Murnane. Another cancer is being added to the growing list of malignancies tied to the toxins in the air after 9/11.
50 women who worked as first responders at Ground Zero following 9/11 developed uterine cancer, but it wasn't on the list of the 90 cancers covered by the World Trade Center Health Program. Cheryl Hall is one of them.
I just felt like it was unfair, but now I feel like, you know, we're being heard.
Today, uterine cancer being added to the list. Dr. Iris Utazin, director of the World Trade Center Monitoring Program at Rutgers, explains the delay due to the fact that cancers were added as people developed them, but not many women worked at Ground Zero. She says better late than never.
Even though the process might have taken longer than we would like, it's there, and our people are going to be taken care of.
The coverage will also cover past treatment and those women eligible for money under the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. In Lower Manhattan, Samantha Liepman, WCBS 880 News.
Well, Paul, I see this morning that the world's oldest person has died again. This time,
as you've noted before.
Has died, yeah, 118. Wow. And when you see about people living that long, you wonder what is the secret, and you love seeing things about it. Well, she smoked a cigar and had a shot of bourbon every day. That is not the case, as we read the story here of Sister Andre. She was a nun, Paul, so she did not live that kind of life. Made it to 118 years old.
I think there are some nuns that enjoy a cigar now and then based on what we've seen over in our parochial system over the years, but that's a story for another day, isn't it?
Moderation is always the key.
Up next, it's our January 18th, 88 seconds in sound, and it's hard to believe 3 years have passed since this first made news.
It was a Sunday morning when the news broke, and maybe a lot of people weren't paying attention in 2020 to something that would soon take over our lives in ways we couldn't imagine.
JFK is screening passengers from central China for a new virus.
Anyone arriving from the Wuhan region is having their temperatures taken and filling out a questionnaire. Authorities say this new form of the coronavirus, a respiratory infection, is believed to be transmitted from animals to humans.
Another ominous news item on this date happened in 2017 when NASA and NOAA said the previous year was the hottest ever, surpassing the year before, which had been the hottest ever. New York City, 1980, the hottest club, Studio 54, took a hit of a different kind when founders Steve Rebell and Ian Schrager were sentenced to 3 years in prison for tax evasion. It would be the beginning of the end. Studio 54 began as CBS Radio and TV's Studio 52 and is now the Roundabout Theater Company. As for Ian Schrager, well, he's now a discount rate city hotel owner and drew a few snickers from CBS Morning's Gail King when he talked about his hotel called Public.
There's no doorman, there's no check-in desk, no spa, no room service. This does not sound like luxury to me.
Well, you know, luxury is a state of being. It's a feeling. It's how it makes you feel.
The smartest way to leave town? Come fly with Eastern.
Eastern Airlines in 1991 landed for the last time.
Only half of Eastern seats were filled with passengers.
You may still see Eastern's insignia on airplanes now because in 2020, another company began flying under the Eastern banner.
How can you have any pudding if you don't see envy?
Music on this day, Pink Floyd's masterpiece album The Wall hit number one in 1980. It was everywhere. To many of us in high school, it was our soundtrack. And debuting on the Billboard charts at a not very impressive number 45 on this date, the Beatles' U.S. chart debut.
Oh, yeah, tell you something.
In only 2 weeks, it was number one and would stay there for 7 weeks in 1964. This is January 18th.
I think The Wall sounds more profound if you're listening in a college dorm room. And 40-plus years on now, I would say that probably they're still listening in college campuses.
We have better speakers now.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.